Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a while, topping the charts.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the sir, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything.
Welcome into another episode of the Podcastianos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by our very own River Rascal. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you, big guy?
I'm good. I'm amped up. I've been chugging the coffee here. I'm ready to rock and roll with the old podcast tonight, Jordan.
A big weekend coming up in your neck of the woods, eh?
It is for those of I'm assuming you're referencing Tulip Time.
Obviously.
Tulip Time. Yeah. For those of us with Dutch heritage, it is it's lit, fam. It's it's hype with all the gray hairs rolling into town. It's something.
Yeah, we actually had a couple questions for you about Tulip Time. Mitch wants to know, do you have a favorite Tulip Time cuisine?
I don't know if I've ever told this story, but do we have time for a short story?
Obviously.
About Tulip Time and food?
Sure, why not?
So the last time I significantly ate Tulip Time cuisine was probably 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago now. So we went down to Tulip Time, and like Cherry Festival or any festival, they have the vendors, like the carnival fair food, junk food carts or trailers. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah. So we're going to go down and we're going to go junk fooding. So, I'm hungry. There's one that has, you know, they got the Polish sausages, they got, you know, elephant ears, they got the full assortment of foods. Well, they had, one was a Philly cheesesteak sandwich. I thought, oh, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
So I got one. It was great big Philly cheesesteak sandwich, and it tastes pretty good. I ate the whole thing, and you know, we're doing our thing. I get home that night. It's maybe 11:30. I wake up and I'm like, this is not going to be good. this is bad. I proceed to the bathroom, and I have a reversal. And that proceeded to be the very worst night of health of my life.
Wow.
I had food poisoning from this Philly cheesesteak sandwich, and I was just hugging the toilet for hours, and just, you know, that, I don't want to be too graphic, but that deep down feeling, like from your diaphragm, where you just, it convulses, and you're like, I am unhappy. I have never since eaten a Philly cheesesteak sandwich, and I don't think I've even gotten any food from Tulip Time since that moment. I was that traumatized.
I think that's probably safe.
Does that really answer the Twitter question?
I think that more than answers the question.
That's what happened. So
do you guys like actively go down to it? Because like we avoid the Cherry Festival at all costs here.
Well, to do any of the actual activities, we do avoid. But we used to just go downtown and maybe catch a little bit of the Dutch dancing and have junk food and stuff like that. We would do stuff like that. Gotcha. Mrs. Wayne was not only a Dutch dancer, but she was an exhibition Dutch dancer.
Dang, that's next level. So she has the Dutch.
She was kind of
for sure.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at them right now. They're right here in our basement. I can clump
them.
It's
alarming that they're so close, just out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, your basement, you know, why, who doesn't have Dutch shoes in their basement?
The Belgians, Belgian people, probably.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
So we were in Midland this past weekend.
That was a bunny trail. Sorry.
I was very much hoping to go down. I had no idea that we were going to get so graphic with the story, but I mean, that was the plan all along, was to go down.
I try to sugarcoat it a little bit. Don't want too much graphic vomit detail. Okay, tell me about your story.
First trip down to Dow Diamond, where the
The loons.
Great Lakes loons. It was really fun. Midland is one of those places, like, from TC, it's close, but it's not, like, that close. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's not going all the way down to Comerica, but it's still kind of a day thing.
Sure.
But we met the broadcaster, radio broadcaster, Brad Tunney. He was really nice. Showed us around kind of the radio booth and the radio station. It's, like, built into the stadium. Like, his office at the ESPN radio station, like, looks out over the stadium. It was, like, it's almost like if you have a place of business that you can do more than one thing in there. Like, you can have a ballpark and it can be, you know, office buildings and whatnot.
That's kind of cool.
But the bit I really wanted to get to, have you been to a Loons game?
Never.
So they do this thing whenever there appears to be whenever there's runners in scoring position. It's called the Funky Feather. So I posted a video of this if you're interested, but techno music comes on and everyone just kind of like raises their arms back and forth. There's like a loon on the scoreboard that does it. It's kind of like a mini dance. Everyone gets real funky, but like first time it happened, everyone just like did it instinctually. I'm like, wait, this is a real thing. Like, everyone knows what the funky feather is.
Yeah.
And they have a rally camel that gets rallies going, much in the way a rally goose would.
But, one hump or two?
To be honest, all it had on the scoreboard was a face, so the humps really didn't really enter into the equation. Yeah. I, of course, got myself a camel t-shirt because, you know, I'm a sucker for such things. But
yeah,
really nice little ballpark, fun atmosphere. I definitely recommend a day trip down.
Good on you, Loons.
Or
good
for
job.
You, for you guys, probably a trip up, as pretty much we're the only ones north of Midland. Anyway, brings us to this week's leadoff question. What is your personal favorite minor league baseball shenanigans?
Well, I mean, the classic is the dizzy bat race, which is always good for some LOLs. I'm going to vary this a little bit and say, one of my favorite things is actually a major league shtick, and that is Beat the Freeze.
Oh yeah.
I love Beat the Freeze because, you have this guy in a silly costume or a spandex or whatever. And I find it incredibly entertaining. You have a fan trying to do something athletic, and the joy of Beat the Freeze is this guy needs to judge the speed of his opponent and let him get an appropriate head start. You know, if it's too little, you create no interest. So it's a timing thing. And then Beat the Freeze, you know, he lets the guy get about a third or half of the way. Boom, here goes the freeze. He's running. And he's coming. And boom, there goes the freeze past him. And it's exciting. I think it's a clever promotion.
Yes, I love Beat the Freeze. I wanted it so that the freeze never lost. You know, kind of like the opposite of whatever race the mascot you have elsewhere, where the mascot always loses. I kind of wanted him to be invincible, but he's lost a few times. But yeah.
But that's, to me, that's kind of exciting. Like, I want him to win. I want him to try to win every time.
Oh,
but
yeah,
by the slimmest of margins. That's what makes it exciting. I was at the game at a game where the freeze lost, and you can tell the tale forever.
I thought you were saying from personal experience. I'm like, when did you get down there?
No.
I feel like I would have known, but yeah.
I transported myself to the third person? First, second?
Sure.
Fourth person? I don't know.
It was for sure fourth.
Yeah.
I'm sure this probably comes as a surprise to you, but my favorite is the dog bat boys. Like, it doesn't get any better than a dog running and fetching the bat after every at bat.
Yeah, it does get a lot better than
that.
No,
it doesn't.
You get dog slobber all over your bat, and then the umpires are trying to intervene with, you know, bad fetching.
Am I the batter that has to have the dog, you know, slobber on the bat? No, it's the hitter's problem. And to my knowledge, the bat dogs, or whatever you would call them, are 100% as far as fetching the bats.
Wow.
There's a
reminds me of the story about the monkey who operated the switcher at the railroad station back in anyway, with perfect accuracy. Huh. I'm off track. Okay. Tell me more about the dogs.
Oh, there was a bat dog for the Greensboro Grasshoppers that bat dogged for 649 games consecutively.
Isn't Traverse City where they had the dog who was at the airport?
Yeah, RIP Piper. Yeah.
sorry to bring it up.
No, Piper was a absolute Traverse City legend. He probably had more Instagram followers than anyone else in this town. Like, legit anyone else. Not that there's a ton of Traverse City celebrities, but no, he would go out with the, I think, the manager of the airport over, and he would run out of the car and like scare the fowl off the runway. And
yes,
he became I would say a minor celebrity, but for the area, that would be underselling it. He was a big deal. But he passed a couple of years ago. It was a fairly emotional scene at his funeral. Is that what we call it for dogs? Like, I didn't go, but I read some of the reports and yeah. All right, let's move on to happy topics. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinio4, and we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. I looked it up. We do have a few reviews, and I will read them now. Are you comfortable with that setup?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, Slaw Train. Gave us five
Slaw Train.
Yes, yeah. Gave us five stars. Great duo. These guys are the Davy Cruz and Damon Easley double play duo of Detroit Tiger podcast.
Thanks.
For sure. And they were good. I mean, they weren't Tram and Whitaker good, but that was a decent double play combo. It's like the double play combo of my youth.
Sure. Okay.
And the next one is from Theo5828, best cereal podcast. Looks like five stars. Also a good Tigers podcast, at least compared to the other ones. Good Tigers podcast.
We're trying to run over 50% on Tigers content. That's the only threshold we really need to reach. If we get 51% Tigers talk, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah, we're pretty bad, depending on what you show up for.
You're right.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast Giannos.
So, Eric, here we sit on May 6th, or Seis de Mayo, as they call it.
The lazy Spanish speakers among us, yes.
The lads are a very unterrible 15 and 16.
Yeah.
The last time we spoke, we watched that bonkers game where we coughed up the 8-1 lead against the White Sox. I got to be honest with you, I turned that game off. You know, typically when you're winning 8-1, you just go ahead and win the game. But, you know, stuff happens. And then, of course, yesterday we won on the, obviously, a Brandon Dixon walk-off homer, just like we all assumed.
Yeah.
One of the big things that we worried about before the season is that it was going to be kind of dull, boring baseball. And quite honestly, like, it hasn't always been good. It hasn't always been bad, but it's been fairly entertaining.
When we lose hard. Like, yeah. 2 games ago, we just got Tyson Ross, and then everyone else, basically, with the exception of the Fernandez guy, mm-hmm. They got shelled.
Jose Manuel just Fernandez, cried. Yeah.
Him. after a while, you lose the ability to keep accurate track of all the people on the team.
Well,
sorry.
I think he is Jose Fernandez, other than how, you know, like – how synonymous with the name Jose Fernandez, the prior Jose Fernandez.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Other than him having existed, I think he probably would just be Jose Fernandez, which would be a lot easier for us to remember.
Right. Anyway. He's making a sound choice using the middle name.
Yeah
that's good. So that game, every pitcher got shelled, especially the, maybe now it's time to bring it up. Yeah. Speaking of that sad thing.
Rip the Band-Aid off. Yep.
Our boy Drew Verhagen, your boy Drew Verhagen, got shelled again and was dismissed.
Yes. So here's the thing. Everyone who's ever listened to the show knows he's my boy and I will defend him to the end. But it was approaching that time. Like
he's had some very rough patches.
Yes. I am willing to give him more rope than just about anyone else. And even I was like, we're approaching that point.
He's kind of done. Yeah. Yep. And maybe change of scenery will help him. Maybe he'll go someplace else. I don't know who's going to scoop him up. I don't know if he's going to go to Toledo, but it was kind of from Gardy's comments. It was kind of like, yeah, he's kind of done here.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be fair, I mean, if that's the case, if he has no future, let him move on, go sure. somewhere else. Hopefully, I hate to say it because I'd love to see him stay in the organization, but hopefully he does move on to a different organization. Cause I do think that there's talent there. I mean, obviously I've been yammering about it for 5 years now.
But you're right. His time was up. I mean, you just can't keep doing that.
No. So we might have an ace in Matthew Boyd. Wow. So here's the big question I have for you. How many starts do you need to see as the sample size before you start to accept?
Before what? I'm coronating him as the ace of aces.
Ace Matthew Boyd.
Well, it's not like he's coming out of nowhere. He's established a pretty sound floor for himself the last couple of years. His body of work thus far has been solid.
Yeah,
so it's
absolutely.
Not like he's coming from nothing. And now it's been how many starts? I should probably look at him. It's been seven starts.
Yep.
And he doesn't have a dud among them.
Correct.
And he is striking people out like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he first or top couple in pitcher war in the AL?
Yeah, and in FIP.
In FIP.
He leads amongst qualified major league starters. He leads in both FIP and war. Yep.
So we're a month in the season. We're a fifth, a sixth of the way through the season already.
Yeah,
it's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Pretty strong.
I spent some time on FanGraphs today. Yes. 6.5 innings per start. That is that's
good.
Very solid. Sixth among qualified starters in strikeouts per nine. Top five in fewest homers per innings pitched. And ninth amongst qualifiers in XFIP. Some of the stats that I use to think of as predictive stats, XFIP, obviously. Ninth in baseball, that's pretty good. Sixth in strikeouts per nine, gotta love that. The low home run per innings pit, like it is a very small sample size. It's a quarter of the starts that he's gonna get over the course of the year.
Yep.
But man,
you know what chatter is happening now though, don't you, Hal?
Is he a trade chatter? Is he not
starting to bubble up? Is are we gonna trade him? And that always pains me because it's like, oh, somebody's doing good. How soon can we get rid of them?
Yeah.
And that's just defeatist mentality to me.
And here's, I actually had that in my list of questions to ask you. Is he a trade piece? Here's the thing. Here's where I come from on this one. He's 28 years old. That is firmly in the range of when pitchers take the next step into that kind of elite territory. Like there's no reason to necessarily think that this isn't just what happens to somebody in his profile.
The curve, the bell curve,
exactly.
Or however you're saying, is in his favor. Yes.
The idea of trading guys is to get somebody who eventually will do hopefully what he's doing. Like he's doing it. He's, cost control. Like, I don't see any circumstance barring getting a potential impact bat where you move him at this point, at least without him showing some cracks in the armor.
Right. Well, the Tigers are in no position to refuse any conversation.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But I think somebody would have to bring a pretty hearty ransom to get Boyd away.
Plus,
we need some bodies to pitch for us. It's getting pretty bad.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, when Ryan Carpenter is squarely in the discussion to get some starts, you kind of need every arm you have. But, I mean, obviously we're not in the clubhouse. We don't see these guys every day. But he seems like a pretty strong influence on the clubhouse. And with all these young pitchers coming up, like having somebody who turned himself from, kind of a mid-level prospect into a frontline type guy, like I think there's some value in that too, not just in great pitching coaching and whatnot, which we don't super have either.
Boyd's something for us to be excited about.
Yeah.
Good for Boyd.
Speaking of things to be excited about, Spencer Turnbull, another great start. Liking what you're seeing out of him?
Absolutely. He's been fun. And I don't know if I can break down his arsenal and everything like that, but he's performed like in some clutch at bats, situations where he needed kind of that last out, maybe even with a guy on or something, pitching out a little bit of trouble. The guy is tough, mentally tough, and obviously he's got good stuff, but he doesn't seem overwhelmed by his situation as a young pitcher.
And he's what, like 26 or something like that? Like he is a little bit older than your typical rookie, which I think kind of lends itself towards what you're saying there.
Inexperienced at the major league level, though.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I feel like he's another one, like, you know, sample size, obviously a question, but all the indicators have him amongst qualifiers at least middle of the pack to slightly above. I mean, he's like, there are reasons to believe that what he's doing right now is sustainable. And what I think is really interesting, he's yielding a batting average against of .215 with the bases empty. And any situation where he'd be in the stretch is much higher. And I think that how he develops his ability to pitch out of the stretch is kind of the difference between him being, you know, kind of a guy clinging to a career versus someone who really succeeds. You know, obviously I didn't pitch at that level, but as someone who pitched in college, like, there is a difference in pitching from the stretch to pitching in the windup. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of ways, like, the stretch is everything just simplified. Like, there's so many less moving pieces. I'm kind of surprised that, I mean, I guess you do it less. I don't know. Like, it was never, not to brag, but like, it was never super like a problem. I wonder if controlling the running game is actually kind of the issue as opposed to, like, I don't know. I think maybe he's paying a little too close attention to the running game, which is interesting because he's got a relatively decent throwing catcher behind the plate. I don't know. That's kind of what I've been wondering about in watching him is what's the deal out of the stretch?
Okay. That's something I'll pay attention to.
Yeah, you really should.
Thank you for bringing it to my attention.
So Daniel Norris, let's just talk about him briefly because I feel like we talk about it every week. Now three straight acceptable starts.
Could
have been the last one in the NL part. Could have been a little bit longer if he hadn't been pitched hit for. Right. Happy with the progress.
But again,
so far?
I was still comfortable with them because it's a blessing in disguise. Because every time Norris can get through five solid, I'm always kind of like, okay. Get him out of there. Good.
To a certain extent, I agree. I think at some point we're going to have to let him try and figure his way through the third time through the order. But, you know, it doesn't have to be in his third start of the year.
Yeah, his numbers are solid. You know, I sent you the email. It's kind of been the studs and duds rotation for the Tigers, and I'd kind of put Norris in the studs category. You got Boyd, Turnbull, and Norris. You got a serviceable crew there. Now, when you get into the other ones, maybe not so much, but you know, there's something here.
Yeah. In my notes, I have Tyson Ross continues to eat innings.
No, he doesn't. Tyson Ross, his last outing was just a turd fest.
I mean, it was his first start off the deep. Like, I don't know. Before that, he was eating innings at a slightly below league average rate. Like, that's fine. We're not going to win. And as you say, we need somebody to throw the ball to the plate a couple times. And he is somebody that is doing that.
I was more excited about Tyson Ross before. I will refrain from bad mouthing Tyson Ross. I'm sure he's fine.
I'm not entirely convinced that that's not one that's going to come good.
You think he is going to be good or not good?
I think he could come good. Yeah. Oh. I definitely don't think he's for sure going to. I just think that he could.
Okay.
Which is great analysis. So continuing our theme of things not being boring. Mickey had some interesting comments regarding his protection in the lineup and the fans' perspective on his power. I'll try and sum them up for you real quick. Let's see, three different bullet points. Harder to hit homers because he's being pitched to differently with no protection. Which
bull?
Are you serious?
What? Yeah. I'm not a big protection guy.
All right. Well, let's get into that. Why? I'm curious. I've read that and like, yep, that tracks. I didn't even give it a second thought.
No, I mean, so the fancy stats guys, I mean, have really tried to build a pretty good argument about why lineup protection isn't that big of a thing.
Okay, this is actually new to me. Can you at least give me some framework here?
Okay, Barry Bonds. Was mm-hmm. Barry Bonds good at hitting?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, really good. Who did he have behind him?
Legitimately no idea.
Like Jeff Kent.
Jeff Kent was a good player.
He's fine.
Anyway.
But the point of the fancy sabermetric guys is lineup protection is mostly a myth.
All right.
Like how, unless it's like a straight up intentional walk situation, why is a pitcher's pitch selection going, it shouldn't be significantly different. If you think you can get a guy out best on breaking balls, you should throw breaking balls regardless of who's coming up next.
Yeah, I mean, that there is something to
point
that.
I'd have to point you to like an article where they kind of, you know, enforce this. But they've looked at performances of hitters based on who's behind them, and the correlation is pretty weak.
Yeah, I mean, that could very well be. I do think there is a little bit to the unintentional walks that he inevitably will get more of with Nico hitting fourth than, you know, Prince Fielder, like he quoted. Okay. But
let's accept the premise, more or less, that line of protection is a thing, and let's move forward.
Okay. Let's see the other one. He's not worried about the power, only, and I'm quoting here, getting the job done.
Okay. All right. So the Ichiro approach, you know,
I guess
just getting that knock. We're not worried about the homers. And you get homers if you wanted to.
His last point, fans don't need to worry about his power, which it almost seems like maybe he's making an excuse or two here.
That, let me translate it for you. Fans don't need to worry about me. Like, fans should get off my back. That's really what I mean.
I mean,
fans should not be busted my balls, is what he's saying.
Or he would prefer if they didn't.
Right. Yeah. So I have two takes on these comments.
By all means.
My first take is, I mean, this is not a big deal. Everybody can just back up off him a little bit. Miguel Cabrera is a Triple Crown winner, Hall of Famer. Just to criticize him because he's hitting almost 300, but yeah, he's not hitting 300 good enough. Yeah, okay, he could be a little surly about that. And so that's point number one. And yet, at the same time, you start to get a little annoyed with Mr. Cabrera. Do you not?
Yeah.
I mean, some of his off-field shenanigans and some of his temperament on the bench, you know, he just looks a little ornery and surly. Now, you don't have to be Mr. Happy Pants and, you know, charming fans all the time, but you should do your job without a lot of complaining and be persistent in your approach towards your job. And maybe don't bring the fans into it. Just, you know, say, yeah, there's a little bit of lack of power, but I'm not too worried about it. It's going to come around. That's a fine thing to say.
Do you think that
and maybe don't complain about your teammates in lineup protection either? So I get where he's coming from and people should probably just relax. And yet it's easy to fall out of love a little bit when a guy is a little surly.
Do you think he's overstayed his welcome in Detroit a little bit? Like, and obviously we signed him to, you know, a Buku extension. Like, he's not going anywhere. But do you think that he's been here so long, we've started to not appreciate him and have him get on our nerves? Like, I just feel like there's a bit of familiarity that when you've been at a place for so long, it's almost like a sibling, like, you know, somebody that you've been around for so long.
Saw that people loved Brandon Inge, but towards the end, I mean, people were ready to run him out of town. Now they've kind of forgotten about it, and he shows up on a broadcast. Oh, yeah, everybody loves Inge. No, I don't think we've gotten to that level yet because Cabrera is far better than, you know.
Yeah.
Even at this stage, he's hitting the ball. So you can see maybe some hairline fractures in the facade of our love of Miguel Cabrera. But no, I don't think it's anything, you know, anything bad. He gets a couple hot months here and hits the cover off the ball. And, you know, you're going to see just as many people with the Cabrera jerseys as ever. I mean, he's still a fixture for the Tigers, and he'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, if he gets a lot worse, I mean, those cracks start to spread a little bit. But.
Yeah. Let's move on and talk about someone who hasn't had any power issues, and obviously that is Ronnie Rodriguez.
El Felino.
El Felino. Leads the club in offensive war despite having only racked up 50 plate appearances this year. Now, obviously that reflects well on Ronnie Rod, but there's a flip side of that coin of a lot of players that it doesn't reflect quite so well on.
When Ronnie Rodriguez comes up to bat right now, I'm kind of excited and hopeful. And I thought two things. That's cool and fun. And then I thought, that's pathetic that I'm excited about Rodriguez. But we needed something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Gordon Beckham can't provide all the power all the time. I mean, this is freaking ridiculous. Now, Candelario finally had a home run the other day. But yeah, we're searching in the dark for somebody to provide a little bit of offense.
Yeah, I feel like early in the year I said that Nico is kind of one of our main playmakers in that offense. He's kind of faded, and into that role has stepped Ronnie Rod.
Yeah, and with Nico, I really wasn't paying attention very much until Dickerson was talking about it on the radio, and I was like, oh yeah, he's kind of in a slump here a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's down to like 230, and not that batting average is everything, but
yeah,
I
mean, 224.
It's not a terrible reflection of how he's done. I think it's just a little case with Nico being found out. I mean, you don't necessarily look at Nico on a decent club and think, oh yeah, everyday player. You think of a guy that can help you when you pick your spots.
Right. Now, do you
not
think
had that luxury?
You think for the opposition that's like pitch selection type things, or do you think it's just a matter of attention? Like we're devoting more cognitive resources to getting Nico Goodrum out.
That would be my assumption. I mean, okay. If I'm approaching a lineup, a big league lineup, I mean, there's only so many guys that you can prepare for. Like, you know, the guys at the bottom, and you know, when Jose Iglesias was hitting two, like you don't worry about those guys so much. When Nico is your four hitter and he's one of the main bats, like that is somebody that you know, come up with a game plan for.
Right. I get it.
So let's see. Ronnie Rod slugging 7.11, which that's decent.
Yes.
Once again, it is Ronnie Rod. Some more numbers just for your pleasure. He's doubled his walk rate from last year.
That's the most notable thing to me. He's more patient at the plate. And this last little outburst here, the last week or two, I mean, he's really been more patient at the plate.
Yeah, his batting average on balls in play is only .375. Like that's high, but it's not like outrageous. You know, mm-hmm. he's not .450 in that category. And even more interesting, I think his fly ball and line drive rates are easily career highs, and he's pulling the ball at almost a 33% higher clip than career norms. So
that makes a little sense to me. Cause, do you remember his batting stance in like pre-pitch, his waggle?
Yeah.
I'll say.
Closed. Yep.
Yeah, it was a very peculiar kind of batting stance, and he's retooled that significantly. It's much more simplified, less effort, you know, really more ready to go with bat's ball. So are you prepared to credit Detroit's hitting coaches and staff for this kind of?
I mean, he came up. He came up from Toledo with that stance, so I don't necessarily know that I believe that it was legendary Lloyd. I mean,
I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek, if you
obviously. I have a pretty strong belief that everything in baseball is about quietness. You know, I love a short, compact delivery from a pitcher. I like just kind of a clean bat-to-ball swing without all that extra, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. movement.
So we should be putting Zen gardens and koi ponds in the dugout.
Yeah,
instead of
absolutely one of the I hate too much noise. Yeah, absolutely.
Get align your chakra. Yeah, whatever.
Sure. So I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm buying it a little bit. Like, I think that Ronnie Rott is going to turn into a, you know, 3-WAR player? No, probably not. But I used to think that he was amongst the worst baseball players I'd ever seen, and now I think less of that.
Doug Mickiewicz said Ronnie Rodriguez was the best player in AAA all of last year.
That is an indictment on AAA.
Well, okay, so Ronnie Rodriguez, he's a stocky, kind of powerfully built dude. You can see him hitting for some power. This isn't like a fluke.
No, definitely not. Especially with, I didn't check into his launch angle, but I would venture a guess that yeah. has improved. Well, I mean, from a power hitting perspective, has improved.
All right. Well, we're excited about Ronnie Rodriguez. Gosh, if that tells you something about the Detroit Tigers.
We're running a little bit long, but I do want to hit on Casey Mize based on the no-hitter. They have a good one on their hands in this dude. No in his first start with Erie last Monday against the Altoona Curve. Faced one above the minimum, one walk, one hit by pitch, 7 strikeouts. Dude's a stud.
And how about that? I mean, you get promoted, you're in a new city, you're trying to figure out where the clubhouse is, and you just stroll out there and mow people down. I watched a little bit of that game live, actually, and he had like a 4-pitch inning. There were some relatively hard hit balls, but they were right at guys, which you need in a no-hitter, but was working super efficiently, just pounding the strike zone. And his comments afterwards were fascinating. He's like, yeah, you know, I really didn't have my best stuff. I didn't have my best fastball. And so, you know, I just really had to go out there with what I had to make do. And I'm like, dude, you threw a freaking no hitter. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And his reward for that no hitter was said interview with Shep and Gibby. That was just an absolute dynamo.
The best part, I think we exchanged messages about this, was, oh, whose home run was it? Somebody hit a home run, and Shep is like, ring the Liberty bell. Like, why, Shep? Why? Hold on, Casey, just a second. I got one queued up for this.
Yeah, and it was...
Ring the Liberty bell.
It was one that you could tell he thought of earlier in the day. He's like, oh, I got to mix that in.
This is great material.
No, Chef, you don't have to mix that in. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. My mom taught me, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
It's going to be some short shows this summer if that's our take on the Tigers.
But my love for Shep, who seems like a terrific guy and does a very serviceable job, but my love for him and his style is not that high right now.
I'm
not totally digging it.
Agree with that.
Mario was better at his job.
He surely
not to
was.
Say Shep is bad. And it's not fair because Dan Dickerson is an absolute stud.
Yes.
I adore Dan Dickerson. Forever. I heart him. So in the contrast between the radio broadcast and the quality of Dickerson on the radio and the television broadcast altogether is pretty stark.
Agreed. Back to Casey Mize real quick before we go to power rankings. How aggressive do you think they'll be with him this summer, and how aggressive would you be with him?
I don't think they'll be aggressive at all. I don't think he'll see the Tigers this year. Well, I don't think he will.
You'd have to
tell me something about the whole clock thing. But you could imagine a situation where he's with the big league club after the rookie clock shenanigans, you know, a couple weeks off to start the season next year, and then he's up with the club. You could imagine that.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think he ends the year down at or up at Toledo this year. I honestly, if he does, I might have to make a trip south. I'd love to see him in Toledo before he makes the jump. And I think that's probably what they'll do, and that's probably how I would. I don't see a scenario where he pitches in the big leagues this year, and I would probably prefer that.
Now, if the Tigers for some reason set the world on fire and are competing for a wild card spot, you run them up.
Yeah.
Say, hey, you're getting a chance. We're going to try to win a wild card spot. It's a stretch of the imagination to see that scenario, yeah, isn't it?
I'd like to go on, out on a limb and say I don't think that's going to happen.
But if it were, Casey Mize is there.
All right. Option. Let's move on to your power rankings.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Power rankings. You know, it's been a beautiful spring day the last couple days. Sunny. I took my son out and we went to the local playground yesterday. And so I have for you things to play on at the playground.
Wow. All right.
Okay. So I have to tell you, playgrounds have changed quite a bit since I was a child, and maybe since you've been a child.
Well, you were a child like 64 years ago, so I'm not super surprised there.
Yes. When I was on the playground, things were made with dirt and iron and
bronze.
Steel.
Yeah.
Bronze. Yeah. And maybe some wood chips. Maybe. If you're they're really safety conscious.
There was mercury everywhere.
Some PFAS just everywhere. So now playgrounds, they have the cushy rubber pellets, you know. And let me tell you, playgrounds honestly are better today than they were when I was a kid. And I don't want to hear any nostalgia BS about, you know, back when men were men and, you know, women milk the cows or whatever. No, today things are better and safer, and that's probably fine. Okay.
I'm not going to argue with that.
That's a fairly controversial playground take. But I have for you the elements, the top elements in a playground that are fun. Okay. The first one, the seventh best, is the actual play structure. Like the treehouse, you go up and there's like a platform. Sometimes they might have like a steering wheel or like a tic-tac-toe block that you spin, and kids kind of treat that as a lookout, as a clubhouse. You can go up and enjoy the play structure. That's number seven.
Okay.
All right. Number six is a slide. Slides are fun, but they're a little lower on the list because of the thrill to effort ratio.
That's true. Yeah. I was a little surprised they were that low, but you do have to. And I can
gotta hike up, yeah. And yeah. To me, I as a youth, I always like to climb up the slidey part of the slide.
I can see that. Rebel from birth, yeah.
Yeah, and then you know you jam up, and then somebody slides down, you crash into each other. It was a very violent type of thing. Now, of course, they have all plastic slides, which remain a little cooler. But in my day, they were all like steel or aluminum, and they'd get hot in the summer. You'd burn yourself on the slide. It was a dangerous deal.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Okay. Number five is, okay, what is the name for a piece of wood affixed to a pivot that goes up and down?
Teeter-totter?
You went teeter-totter. I was going to go seesaw. To me, that's the go-to label for this thing.
Okay.
But you went teeter-totter. Teeter-totters and seesaws are good.
I mean, it's a trash toy either way, but.
Whatever, dude. The teeter totters are great. It's fun to get like a fat kid on one side and the skinny kid on the other, and you just kind of launch them, and you kind of, or maybe you get two skinny kids for a fat kid.
Yeah, that seems about the right ratio.
You know, and you up and down, you teeter totter. Now, when I was a kid, there was a playground that had this amazing four-way teeter totter. It was like in an X. And so, whoa, you know, you're going in a circle and moving. It's teetering and tottering.
Man, you got some bougie playgrounds where you're from.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. Number four is the springy horse thing. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Yeah. So you get on this, you got to be careful now when you're a man of, you know, you're a man like me and bigger. You get on the springy horse and you tip that thing back and forth and it rocks. That's a fun thing to do. You got to be careful of your private parts.
Yeah, that seems like
you don't want that thing springing back. And or you don't want to bend all the way forward and you're like, oh, no. Oh, no. And then you got to let it go to sprung. It sprungs up. Can't have that. But for kids, the spring horse is pretty fun. It's probably got a name. I'm gonna call it spring horse. Number three is a sandbox. Sandboxes are fun. You make castles. There's a reason why sandbox video games are fun. It's the same reason sandboxes are fun.
There's one possible outcome that comes from playing in a sandbox, and that is being filthy. That's the only takeaway from a sandbox.
You seem like kind of a clean person.
I am an extremely clean person.
The joy of childhood is just, you know, ingesting some bacteria from a sandbox. You get to build up the immunity a little bit.
I for sure did not do that as a child.
Sandboxes are fun. Number two is swings. Swings are great because it can be an active thing where you're, you know, pumping and underdogs and really swinging. But swings are also good because they're just kind of a fun passive thing where you sit next to somebody on the swing and maybe you share a few words of conversation and you just enjoy the revelry of a simple childhood on the swings.
I feel like I have no image of a swing other than like two emo dudes sitting there, like, you know, discussing how black their souls are.
Yeah. Where else are the emo guys going to go to discuss blackness of souls?
Hopefully back to 2005, but, you know, we do still have some.
Just tells you swings are a good place to discuss life. Get yourself that leather, droopy rubber saddle and you're good. If you're an adult, don't go with the baby swing and put your legs through there, because maybe you'll need to call the fire department to get you out.
That feels like something most adults would know.
Just trust me on this one. Okay. Your thighs are a certain size. Don't go for the baby swing. Okay. Number one, you got to guess, Hall.
My main guess is monkey bars, but that feels a little bit too intensive for you. So I'm not sure.
Monkey bars is certainly not the right answer. Yeah. The right answer is the merry-go-round. This is my one throwback to a wilder, more chaotic day. And that is, the merry-go-round is a device of chaos. It's the only legalized drug for youth. And you put yourself on this thing and you get dizzy and that's the rush of choice. For the elementary school set, so many things you can do with the merry-go-round. You sit, you know, you kind of you stick your body way out and you get it spinning, and then you pull in and it goes faster. It's a study in centripetal forces,
science,
and it's fun. You know, the kids run around and inevitably they like crash, always crying with the merry-go-round. It teaches you good life lessons. Merry-go-round's an intense and fun playground toy. That's number one.
It's beautiful. Well put.
Okay. The three worst, third from the worst, is any kind of these musical elements.
Oh, nowadays, for sure. Like, woof.
The drum or like the chimes, you know.
How do you feel about wind chimes in general? I'm curious.
I like wind chimes.
I find some them people, unsettling.
Yeah. Some people hate them.
Yeah.
I think they're fine.
Anyway.
The musical elements are kind of fun at first. You know, kids can kind of bang on it, but you know, every kid has got to try it, and that's annoying AF. Yeah. All right. Second from the worst is like a balance beam or like these little balance things. Okay, you walk across it, big whoop. You know, it's not high off the ground. You're not married.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you made it across the balance beam. You know, the floor is not lava. Okay, it's wood chips. Not that exciting. All
right. No whimsy. So,
yeah, don't use your imagination. Stop that. No, number one worst, and it's already been mentioned, Hall. You want to take a guess?
Monkey bars?
Monkey bars is trash. Like, who has who has the upper body strength for the monkey bars or the jungle gym?
Children. Really? A lot of children.
Do we really need a nation of little ninja warriors?
To be honest, no. With our current obesity problem, might not be the worst idea.
Well, but these poor kids, they're not doing pull-ups on these things. Little obese kids are like slipping off and crying. Can't do the monkey bars. It's a lot of effort. Maybe I just don't like the monkey bars because
I think there's a chance of that. Yeah,
they're hard to do. Okay, they're hard to do. Don't like the monkey bars. All right, that was Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
All right, nothing on the side of the road this week. They were doing, adopt a highway or adopt a road, whatever, cleanup. So there's all these like brightly colored bags on the side of the road, but no fun stuff because it was all picked up.
They just picked up. Oh, yeah. See, isn't that nice?
No,
it's being a clean person like you are. I figure you'd appreciate it.
I mean, I do, but also like take your trash with you. Like, why are you leaving it on the side of the road? Finish your job, you know?
Because the pickers are not the same people as the loaders, evidently.
But they could be. Like, we all have trash.
Send a truck.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get into Twitter questions. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comerica Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. First one comes in from our buddy Keenan at Tiger_Lifer. When approaching other runners on the mean streets of TC, does Jordan go with the wave, the head nod, or does he pretend not to see them? Now, this is an excellent question. In general, when I pass people that I know or don't know, I just pretend not to see them because I'm 100%,
that's frosty.
100% of the time trying to avoid any sort of communication. But on the road, I think you would know this about me. My go-to move is the finger guns. I'll give them two or three finger guns apiece as we run by each other.
Two or three finger guns. That's a lot. Like, that's a big arsenal.
Well, if you have both fingers out, like two or three shakes, that's not an unreasonable amount of finger guns.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
Now, same question for you, except with mall walkers.
I was in the mall recently. I thought, this is a good place to walk. There's a lot of scenery. It's always climate controlled.
I 1000% believe you had that exact thought.
Maybe mall walkers have it right.
Maybe. I mean, generally they're all super old people, so.
Maybe I should start mall walking. Start a revolution.
Oh, you should like Instagram live while you do that.
that would be hot.
It'd be something. Next one comes from Billy Spire at Billy Spire. He says, thoughts on Daz Cameron.
Yeah, he's a good baseball player. He had a little slump here recently, but then he hit a bomb the other day.
Just as Miggy, real the power is the only thing that matters.
Right. I mean, he's still the most promising position player we have.
Yeah. Well, him or Paredes, yeah. But
Yeah. You don't hear as much about Paredes these days. I wonder how he's doing.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing that we could look up. Not going to. At Cam.
Like we have one crummy team to keep track of. It's hard to keep track of everybody. There's like 600 people in the Tigers organization, I think.
That's true.
It's hard to know them all. And I devote a lot of mental resources to Ulrich Boyarski. So I don't have time for everybody.
Speaking of, you see Ulrich last night going for the cycle?
For the cycle.
Heck yeah, Ulrich. Yeah. Big boy.
Don't ask me about Jose Fernandez, but I do know about Ulrich Boyarski.
Yeah.
Priorities.
At Cam Girard at Cam_Girard. So he posted a picture of the fancy place setting at a fancy dinner table.
Yeah.
Says, which fork do I use to open the Capri Sun pouch that defied my straw?
Man. You ever stab a Capri Sun and you double puncture? You just go right through?
I haven't had a Capri Sun since childhood, so I probably wasn't strong enough to do that.
I'm a little hulky with the fingers, like it's a little clumsy. It's just like stabbed right through.
Do you have trouble texting?
I have fat fingers. What can I say? Well, they're strong fingers. I'm good. My secret power is I'm really good at opening jars.
It's not nothing. I mean, you could do worse. Yeah,
it keeps me married. I'm useful around the house.
you open jars and you yell at turkeys. That's the your role.
Jars
the
open
house.
And the turkeys away. What more do you want, a man?
At CJ10@22 says, thoughts on Tottenham securing Champions League play next year, despite us losing nearly every Premier League match in the last 2 months. I don't even really want to talk about the top four. As a United fan, it's been a really tough last couple months. You guys are fairly close to getting Champions League football next year, no?
We are in the Premier League, so yeah.
remaining up. He finishes as Shane Green for MVP, which probably isn't going to happen.
MVP for closers, not so much.
Not so much. But if it did happen, that'd be impressive.
It would be.
At Pete_ill says, last year we saw the hashtag rally goose. What rally creature will we see this year? Are we looking for a hashtag rally unicorn?
You see the bees today in Cincinnati?
Yeah.
There was an infestation of bees and they had to pause the game. I don't know if the Reds rallied after that, but
yeah, I mean that's the key. Is you can't just have the fluke thing. It has to inspire you on to victory. That's where a lot of rally animals go astray.
You know, I don't want a cute animal. I want something something dirty and just kind of gritty. I want a possum.
Ooh, there you go. Now you're talking.
A rally possum.
A trash panda.
Like one staggers. That's a raccoon.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah. So a possum, that's really what I want. They're ugly, they're hideous, and it would make a great mascot, the rally possum.
So this is unrelated to anything we're talking about, but did I tell you about the foxes at the campground?
I saw that you have them.
We have foxes at the campground, and they are my family, and I love them. Next one comes from Chad Tucker at ctuck_24. Do you tip when you order curbside pickup?
No.
No, you're supposed to. The people that like put all the stuff together and take it out to you.
I don't get curbside.
Well, I don't really either, but you're supposed to. It's like their entire job is they get paid off tips. So you definitely should.
Oh, is that right?
I mean, you probably should just go in and order there, but yeah, you for sure should tip them.
So we went out for drinks with a couple of other couples the other night, and I was sitting with the dudes, as you do when you go out with couples, you gender segregate.
Obviously.
And the conversation went on for maybe 20 minutes about tipping, about the grocery pickup, like at Meijer, because you can either get shipped or you can get the curbside pickup. And they were like breaking down the relative merits of each. And a lot of it was like tipping. Like if you get it delivered, they tipped. But if you picked it up curbside, then they didn't feel they needed to. It's a brave new world out there. All
do you get shipped? Tipping.
Never done it.
Me either. That feels a step maybe too lazy. I'm not sure that I'm willing to make that one yet.
And like people come into your house and like put your groceries away.
Are you
they?
Serious? I don't. Not that. Yeah. That for sure is not happening.
I don't know. It's too advanced. I'm a simple man.
Yeah.
Simple one.
Nicholas Holler asks, if the Red Bull keeps it up, could he be a sneaky pick for Rookie of the Year? He's got some stats. But I threw this one in because I want to discuss this. Is Red Bull a thing for Spencer Turnbull? Like, are we doing this?
I think Brandon at Bless You Boys kind of got that started.
Oh, I'm down.
He was pushing that kind of hard.
I like it. I mean, it makes sense.
Red Bull.
Yeah, I'm in, and I like Brandon. Yeah, I'm for sure in. Let's make this happen.
Okay, Red Bull it is.
To answer the question, I mean, yeah, he could be in the mix. I can't say I've stayed super on top of what all other AL rookies are doing, but I mean,
I don't think he's not that sneaky anymore. Yeah. I mean,
he plays for Detroit. Like itself makes you sneaky to the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's true.
Last one is from Alan Abs. Which tiger should the royal baby be named after?
Well, isn't there, there's already a royal baby named after a tiger.
Donald?
George.
George. George.
George.
Kell.
No. George. George Farmer. Buck.
That's true.
Buck's given name is George.
That is true. Obviously, all babies should be named after Don Kelly. I think Nico would be, it's a cool name. Like that's a good one.
Nico's not his given name though, or is not his first name.
Is it not? Oh, man.
No. I gotta Cartier. Cartier.
That's an even better name.
What? Is Nico's first name.
Who passes on that as their name? That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's tough to spell as a kid, though, probably.
Cartier. I think that's how you say it.
Sounds like you should make it's fancy like French. Watches. Yeah.
Or Cartier.
That's less fancy.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. And we'd love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform listen to the show on. Eric, been a good show. Anything else to say to the people before we get out of here?
No, not really.
Okay. Was expecting a little something there.
I struggle to is a tire swing a swing or is a tire swing not a swing?
I think it's a different thing because you can do different things on a tire swing than you can on a regular swing.
Yeah, so tire swings are pretty fun too, but I didn't know the proper taxonomy, the nomenclature for the tire swing, so I didn't even engage it. I didn't want to get into that.
That's fair.
That's all I have to say.
Okay. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.